Our text for consideration this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, selected verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We pray. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow Redeemed, what or whom do you trust? This question for the Christian should have a very simple answer. I trust in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Our Savior today is encouraging us to cling to this clear, simple answer. However, it is easy to trust in other things, namely misguided human knowledge and reason, which often manifests itself in physical things as well. This is an important truth to remember in times of temptation. C.F.W. Walter, who was the first president of the old Missouri Synod, also known as the American Luther, contended back in 1885 that modern theology and its essential qualities are something entirely and absolutely different from the theology of former times, which we would refer to as orthodox theology. I don't think that was a compliment. Walter states that those who claimed allegiance to the qualities of modern theology did not even pretend to base their system on faith. They preferred to have a system of science, one where you would start out from principles of human knowledge. And in doing so, they claimed then that they were able to prove as absolute truth what the common people like us merely believe. Does that sound like a good idea to you? So what is it then that we so-called common people merely believe? We believe this, don't we? That we can and ought to fear, love, and trust also depend on God in all things, like a child. Having a faith of the sort, as Jesus says, is necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven. This true belief shows that our personal understanding of theology is important. It's important because we are so prone to trust and depend on other things. A true belief is given and nourished by the Holy Spirit, by abiding in God's word, going through catechism class, attending worship, and going to Bible study at church. Not through conclusions surmised through human knowledge and wisdom. In other words, understanding theology according to the absolute, errorless truth of the Bible. This does matter. Most importantly, this true belief, it can't help but be, in fact, it has to be, something entirely and absolutely different than the modern theologian and their I and my theology that often leads to eternal destruction. The very first words of chapter 14, they set the tone for this comforting text in this Lenten season. Jesus lovingly states, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus had just finished elaborating on betrayal, loss, denial, Judas betraying, Jesus leaving, Peter denying. The disciples were in a state of unease and confusion, and Jesus knew it. Would we still be trusting in God at this point if we were in their shoes? Then Jesus throws some spiritual logic at them. You believe in God, believe also in me. Or said another way, trust also in me. Don't let these things that I'm saying cause you to fret. In essence, Jesus is saying, I give certainty to faith. Remember this. Jesus gives certainty to faith. We've all heard this phrase, right? In God we trust. It's a familiar slogan. It's written on our dollar bills. It's also written on our coins. But as far as America goes, is this really the true reality? Or is it something maybe more like this? In God we trust if there's enough of Him in our wallet. You see, it's easy to think our trust is genuine until we get thrown a curveball. The disciples didn't fare so well. Peter, he was willing to lay down his life, but then the rooster crowed. Thomas, he confessed, "My Lord and my God," but only after Jesus gave him a visual masterclass on the after effects of crucifixion. So what might our until be? I'll trust in God until... Could you fill in the blank for yourself? Maybe this fits the bill. I will trust in God until my way of dealing with things according to my truth as I live my life comes up against God's ways. Could the modern theologian be in all of us after all? Do we use human reason and knowledge until we get our way, making ourselves our own God? The truth is that the list would go on and on and on until all of our blanks are filled with something. We have all been idolaters at times, and we will all be idolaters again at times. Luther says, "To whatever you give your heart and entrust your being, that, I say, is really your God." On this side of heaven, our weak, sinful flesh, with it we can't avoid it. You see, just like the disciples, we often have a way in mind. And it's not Jesus. We tend to have a truth in mind, but it's not the absolute truth that Jesus ensures us resides with Him. And we are often concerned about a life, our temporal life. But it's not the life that Jesus has made certain for us in eternity. Jesus reminds the disciples, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to me except through the Father." This is not only true for them, but true for us as well. And once again, an important thing to remember at times when temptation is knocking on the object of our trust's door. The disciples' sinful nature, like ours, is often locked in, focused on this world. We desire it. We cling to it. We know it. We trust it. There's that idolatry again. We want to live here forever, but only according to our sinful nature. Though we call this life a vale of tears, as it so often is for believers, we are constantly tempted to dread that very day when that veil of tears will be lifted. We fail to think of things from the correct perspective. Death is not death for the Christian. Death is life. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Finally, these things were all happenings from Holy Week. In fact, it's the night in which Jesus was betrayed. Christ's perfect life, the one that He had lived for us, was about to culminate in the ultimate act of love that He accomplished for us on the cross. To cancel out our rampant idolatry, Jesus always trusted perfectly in God, even when that very God forsook Him. To cancel out our backwards thinking, Jesus was always perfectly in sync and in alignment with God and His holy will. To cancel out all of our sin, no matter how heinous it may be or how heinous we may think it is. God's Son was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We know that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. through Jesus. Just like the confidence that the disciples had after being filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, Jesus makes our confidence the same by looking back at what he has done for us through the inerrant lens of Holy Scripture. We can be confident that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Because of this, he will come again and he will receive us to himself. We will be where he is. I'll say it one last time. Jesus gives certainty to faith. Do not let your heart be troubled. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue with hymn 428, verses 1, 2, and 6. Hymn 428, 1, 2, and 6.